each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. We're in Advent. I almost said Lent. Tony is maybe on his way, we
stuck
hope.
In traffic.
Probably. How are you doing, Christina?
I'm okay, Father, surviving. Okay. It's just unbelievable how time is flying.
Oh, we always say it, but it's true.
It's true. I think the last time I saw you, well, here on the radio,
right,
was before Thanksgiving. Yeah, so.
You're right.
It was.
Gosh, yeah.
So Thanksgiving came and it
did
went.
We already had Thanksgiving? Did it come and go or what?
It
came
did.
And went. Yeah.
So fast.
Gosh, that's right. Because I was in Rochester last week, and the week before that it was, that's right, Thanksgiving. But this is hard to believe we're in Advent. This is going to be the shortest Advent ever because Christmas the day. So on the fourth Sunday of Advent, already that evening is Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And so we really are, we're talking only 3 weeks of Advent. We get the four
so
Sundays,
fast.
But 3 weeks.
And then I looked at the calendar because I'm looking ahead. Like you always work ahead here at the parish. Lent starts
the 14th of February.
On Valentine's Day.
So we got to get ready for Lent.
For Lent, yeah.
Probably going to just leave
the purple.
The purple for Advent up and just
Lent.
Morph right into Lent. But anyway, Tony, how are you doing?
Hey, Father.
Did you get stuck in the traffic?
Yeah, it's bad out there.
So I was in your neck of the woods on Saturday.
Really?
I think, because I'm trying to remember where you live.
That's right, yes.
But I
not
had
so
gone
far.
To, I had, so I try to, people don't believe me, you know, when I say I go morning till night nonstop. And so sometimes when people get up frustrated because they can't seem to get me, they say it would be easier to get a hold of the Pope than to get a hold of you.
Consider you a doctor. It's hard to get
Well, that's why I have office hours now. But so I wanted to anoint somebody on Saturday. The only way how can I fit this into my schedule? So I said, okay, I have a funeral on Saturday and a quinceañera, and I'll be done. The quinceañera is at 1 o'clock, so I've got mass at 5 o'clock. So I'm going to take that time after the quinceañera, and I'll go and anoint this person. Who's a dear friend of ours, you know, we love her very much. So I'm going all the way to Narragansett
mm-hmm.
and San Roscoe.
Right. Yes.
So, okay, so I don't go out on Saturdays because I'm always in the church.
Right.
Weekends, I spend my whole weekend is in the church, literally.
You had that 2:30 p.m. slot open.
So I had that 2:30, I had the, after the 1 o'clock, too. So 2:30, yeah. I figure I finish the quinceañera at 2 o'clock. By 2:30, I can... Or by 2:30, you know.
Yes.
Because they never start on time, as you well know.
Yes.
And so anyway, the point was I've got a good block of time between 2:30 and 5 o'clock. I'll go out there, anoint, and spend a little bit of time, and then get back for the 5 o'clock mass. Well, I tell you, it was. I mean, now I know why people are late for weddings and quinceañeras.
Now you know.
And all that. I didn't get out of here until a little after 2:30. It took me 45 minutes to get there. Mm-hmm. And there's no easy way to get there
and because... That's not that long of a trip. in the normal circumstances, you would be quicker than that.
Because you're in that neck of the woods, right? You live somewhere over there.
Yeah.
Where do you, you're on?
By Diversey.
Yeah, Diversey in like Laramie.
Okay, so I went it's Diversey. I took Diversey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or no, was it Belmont?
Diversey or Belmont is a track.
I took Belmont.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never take Belmont.
I took Belmont. It was horrible.
Yep.
It was horrible.
They've now made it a one-lane street or two-lane streets.
Yeah, exactly.
The bikes.
Oh, the bike. Oh,
that's what the problem is.
That's exactly what the problem is.
So it took me that long to get out there. Then I thought, okay, I spent a little bit of time, did the anointing and the prayers and all that. And I thought, okay, now I got to get back in time for 5 o'clock. So I said, I'm not going to take that two-way street.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going to take a four-lane. So I figured I'll take Fullerton. I'll take Narragansett to Fullerton, and Fullerton come west. And I said, that should get me back in time. So I went Narragansett south, past the Brickyard, mm-hmm. And I evidently missed Fullerton because I didn't see it, but I saw Grand. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I can take Grand because I know Grand, well, it kind of goes off to an angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I said, well, let's just try this. But that was bumper to bumper. And then I came to Armitage and said, well, I'm going to take Armitage because then that puts me on this side of the parish. Grand would take me farther away from the parish eventually. So Armitage was okay, but there were a lot of stop signs.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, to make a long story short, it was, I was, you know, a very nice way to begin Advent, you know, patiently waiting. You know, I wasn't patiently waiting. The people were waiting in the church.
The people were patiently waiting.
And said, you know, I'm not going to be there on time.
Sure.
And so I took Armitage to Milwaukee thinking, okay, should I take Milwaukee angles so it'll get me there? But I don't know if that's going to be bumper to bumper. But actually, Milwaukee wasn't that bad. But the traffic was unreal. Yeah.
The people are already, it's that time of the year where people are out there.
True.
The bustle, no, how do you, what's that saying?
Hustle and bustle.
Hustle and bustle. They're getting ready for Christmas, you know, Christmas shopping.
But I think part of the problem is, you know, so I took the expressway to Belmont and it wasn't so bad going north. But I saw the traffic coming south was bumper to bumper. Yeah. So I thought, I'm not going to get on the expressway because of the work they're doing. So anyway, I'm going to stay put in the church on the Saturdays and Sundays.
Especially a Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. And then I don't know if it was raining. Whenever it rains, makes it worse.
Don't recall. No, it wasn't raining.
I don't think it was raining, but it was cloudy.
It was cloudy, but it wasn't raining. But anyway, so then I realized how many people live out in that area. People from our parish live out there.
A lot.
And I mentioned, did I mention it at the 10 o'clock? Oh, no, I mentioned it that 5 o'clock when I got to the Mass. I said, Chicago. I love Chicago. But I recalled going to my uncle's funeral in Ohio. This is some years ago. And I realized the difference between St. Mary's, Ohio, and Chicago when you've got a hospital, a funeral home, the church, and the cemetery, all within close proximity.
Yeah.
And so you can do everything one morning.
Mm-hmm.
And in Chicago, to go from even to a cemetery, you're going...
It's far out.
You're talking a whole day. By the time you go to have the Mass or even to go to a funeral home, everything is so far away.
And I know we've been to so many funerals here, Father, and you have the Mass... Then we go all the way out to, it's either west, north, or south, whatever. It's
They're far. All far away.
They're all far.
They're all far.
And then after that, some of the families, they went at lunch. And so it's a whole day thing. And you come home and you're wondering, why am I so exhausted? It's draining.
Extremely draining. And I don't go to dinners or any of that. This is one thing I don't do. Because if I just don't have the time.
Mm.
But I don't go to receptions. I don't go to the dinners and all that because there's just no time.
Just
for that.
One person here,
right?
So it's like one priest.
Yeah.
So even that week of was that last week? Thanksgiving was last. Was it last week or the week before?
No, 2 weeks.
2 weeks
ago.
Yes,
a week and a half ago.
So that weekend, we went to a quinceañera, and I was up in Arlington Heights.
Right,
and then. We went to the reception. The church wasn't too far from the banquet hall,
right.
Which was great. Then we were there, and there was a priest there, and I'm like, oh, there's a priest here, and I forgot. It's the uncle, there's a priest okay, in the family.
Right.
He did the prayers for, you know, before grace. He said grace. So, but usually, yeah, you don't normally see a priest.
I could never be a priest in the same city where my family lives.
Yeah.
Because the expectation of being at birthday parties and all that kind of stuff. And I say this respectfully, but in the Hispanic community, if you're Hispanic, you're expected to be at all kinds of fiestas. There's fiestas.
Tell me about it.
You married into that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, but it's just like every weekend or something,
but
right?
But it's hard when you work Saturdays.
So. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that our side of the family, the Carrasco family,
you got
a huge
family.
But on the other side, that's the Myers. That's my cousin's husband. They're a big Irish Catholic family.
There you go.
Oh, my.
The banquet hall was packed.
Huh.
Both families, huge families from both sides.
Yes, that's right. Well, I say this tongue-in-cheek, jokingly kind of, but when I, Christina's father and mother, the first 6 years I was here in the parish, you know, I wasn't a pastor, so I worked only with the Hispanic, the Latino community, which was mostly Mexican, recent immigrants from Mexico. And so every Saturday night, families would pray the rosary every day. They'd come to the 11:30 Mass at that time. It was a Spanish Mass. That we have two Spanish, but that was a Spanish Mass in the evening as well, still. But so we had the 11:30 Mass. Now it's at 12. After the pandemic, we had to make a little bit more time between Masses for cleaning the church and all that. But so we would have an image of Our Lady Guadalupe at the 11:30 Mass. A family would
host the
image in their home.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knew every day the image was taken after Mass. The image was taken by the family that had signed up, take the image to their home, and then every day they would pray the rosary. And then on Saturday evening, I would go to the home, we'd pray the rosary and Mass, we'd have Mass, and we have a convivencia, a dinner gathering, mini fiesta. And so I did this for 6 years every Saturday night. Again, I wasn't a pastor. And then that family would bring the image back the next day during the offertory. They'd bring the image up, and then it would stay there until the next family took the image. And your father and mother would always accompany me because your father played the guitar and your mom the tambourine. And everywhere we went, Mateo, as Christina was trying to say, oh, this is mi compadre, mi primo, or whatever, my cousin. And I said, well, you know, don't ever say anything bad about anybody Mexican or Latino because everybody's related. Everybody's related. Family.
And then you went to a family and you said to my dad, I'll never forget, here nobody's going to know you because they're not Mexican.
Right.
They're Guatemalans.
Guatemalans, yeah.
So nobody's going to know you. And when you get there, somebody said, compadre.
Compadre.
Somebody
compadre.
Knew my dad. They were related.
It's funny. So, but you know that, Tony, because you married into...
And that's a big family, too, for Tony.
So when you marry a Mexican, you marry Mexico.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. You marry the whole, yeah.
But really, I mean.
Especially Michoacan.
Michoacan.
The state of Michoacan.
And when we went to Michoacan, you know, many years later, I went to Michoacan with your father the Barajas family. And we took the trip 5 hours up the mountains from Morelia. And they're pointing out to me every place. Oh, this family lives here, and this family lived over there. They're from here, all these little ranches and all that. It was
up high on the hills, the mountains.
Yeah.
Have you been there? Not in Balcones. I've never been.
It's beautiful. The trip up there is absolutely beautiful.
I mean, I've been to Morelia and other
parts. Morelia is beautiful.
Morelia is very colonial.
Yeah.
The Spaniards were
there. In fact, you have you're all related.
Y'all related.
But the Barajas family, I stayed at, they had like this big home. It was like a hotel.
Yes.
And it was surreal.
And you stayed at my uncle's house.
And I stayed at a huge home.
It's like a mansion.
There as well. It's just It was just amazing. And very, very beautiful because it's on a hill overlooking Morelia.
Yes, and you could see the cathedral
at
night when it's lit up.
Yeah.
Wow, that's nice.
Like, I noticed now that St. Stan's is lit up at night, which looks
Isn't
beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's beautiful, Father.
Thanks to
very
Wojtek.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's
beautiful.
Have you seen it at night?
Yeah,
it's really
it's
nice.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. So we should pray. We're 16 minutes into the show talking about nothing.
We haven't seen each other on the radio.
The radio.
And
see each other on Sunday.
But we'll pray the Angelus and the decade of the chaplet, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll move into Advent. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus,
I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, whose mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust our nation and the entire world to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land, this world, for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us. Touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this whole on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee. O Virgin of virgins, our Mother, to thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Incarnate Word, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, everybody, we'll take a break here, and we'll come back. I am Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, click on Listen to Episodes or visit the Winds of Change Facebook page.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
the Winds of Change.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Did you know that a princess helped introduce St. Nicholas to the Western world? This happened in the year 972 when Princess Theophano, the niece of Emperor John of Constantinople, brought a mosaic icon of yours truly, St. Nicholas, to Rome as a wedding gift to her husband-to-be, Otto II, the future emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. After their royal wedding mass celebrated by Pope John XIII in the old St. Peter's Basilica, Princess Theophano became the Lady Di of her age. Suddenly, everything she did, including her love of St. Nicholas, seemed to be copied by everyone. In fact, besides me, there's one more thing she introduced to the Western world that you'll use during your meal this Christmas. The dinner fork. So as we raise our dinner forks this Christmas, let's remember the royal princess who worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as we proclaim, Christ is born, glorify him.
Okay, we're back.
It's my fault.
Your fault.
I take full responsibility.
It's your fault. Armin's fault.
No, I was talking and talking.
Cue me in.
Gotta cue me in. You can't blame Armin.
No, he took the blame.
Right.
He pointed to himself.
Because he's not.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But he's good that way.
It was clearly his fault.
No, but I was talking.
Anyway. So yes, we're in the season of Advent. I keep wanting to say Lent.
Because of the purple.
Season of purple. Well, yeah. The season of Advent, which begins, this is the beginning of a new liturgical year. And it basically begins as it ended with the solemnity of Christ, the King of the Universe, which seems like that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was only a week ago. And was it a week? Yeah, it was a week ago.
It was.
But the very pointed summons is simply this: be watchful. Be alert, stay awake. You do not know when the Lord is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. We do not know the day or hour of the Lord's coming in glory, but the day is closer today than it was yesterday. Got to think about it that way too, you know, because it's so true. You know, as we're talking about way back when we had the masses in the homes and all that, I was telling Christina during the break, or before you got here, Tony, mm-hmm. before we started, I saw this when I was in Rochester through Epoch Times. I saw a beautiful movie called Solstice.
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 Yes.
Solstice. Have you seen this? It was filmed in Chicago.
No.
But filmed in 1991. It's a mini movie, so it's maybe 50 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe more, I don't know. But and it was a really nice little Christmas movie about but it was filmed in 1991. And I reckon, it was over on Southport and where St. Alphonsus was. That was a church where he went to midnight mass. And this is a young guy who was trying to find himself and wasn't in the Christmas spirit. He was alone and didn't know if he wanted even to be with his family on Christmas. And anyway,
like somebody I know.
Yeah. Somebody I know, a couple of people.
But what was so neat was, what was interesting was, it looked like old Chicago.
Wow.
And that was only 1991. And you see this and you see the difference because we recognize all these places, you know. Even they were having beer at D'Agostino's.
Oh, wow.
Over on Addison.
Close
and
by.
Not this one, but the
other one on Addison.
Addison and is it
Southport?
Addison and
Southport? Yeah, it's on the corner right there.
Yeah, because you see the signs and all that. And it was just like old Chicago.
Wow.
And it seemed like another era. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking... I was already here at that time.
Yes.
But but there was something about Chicago at that time, and because you had the neighborhoods and the neighborhood, the corner bar and the pizza place and all that kind of stuff, and it was something really attractive. And then they had so he's kind of wandering around. It's Christmas Eve, and... the magic box, is it, or the music box.
The music box.
Right there. Where is that X? I saw that, I remember it.
Is it by Lincoln Avenue? No.
No, it's up Southport.
It's right there.
Yes, it's still there.
It's close to the Gold... No.
No.
Not the Golden Apple. That's where we go for.
The Golden Apple is further.
I was thinking because it's right in front of St. Alphonse's.
Yeah, okay. So that's
Southport. So if you take Southport straight or going north,
It was so neat. You know, the way that people were dressed. And I mean, it's just like that was, that was.
Now you're making me want to see this movie.
It seemed like, I thought, wasn't that a pleasant time?
Yeah. You felt safer.
Yeah. And they had, so at the music box, they had the midnight, the Christmas Carol singing, and then had the It's a Wonderful Life, the movie, and he kind of snuck into there. Mm-hmm. The people invited him in, and the whole thing, it was a beautiful, beautiful little story, you know. Oh. And anyway, I just bring that up because what did I say? That we do not know the day or hour of the Lord's coming in glory, but the day is closer today than it was yesterday. So anyway, Advent, I've already said this is it's by nature a shorter penitential season than Lent by a week. Lent is 5 weeks and Advent is 4 weeks, but this year, especially because the fourth Sunday of Advent is on Christmas Eve, it's that same day, Christmas Eve, that night we begin the celebration of Christmas, and so it makes it just a mere 3 weeks. If you can imagine that. The reason for the season, I know that's a cliche, but the reason for the season is to recall that God came to us in the flesh over 2,000 years ago, subjecting himself to the reality of our exile and therefore experiencing the full effect of the human condition and sparing himself nothing of what we suffer. And yet he who did not sin took sin to himself in order to redeem us and prepare us for his glorious second coming if we choose to remain in his grace. And every Mass we celebrate is an anticipation of the Lord's coming. So I was really moved by you read that first reading. I don't know if you noticed if you were listening to the homily, but
yes,
I went back
you
to
based
that.
On, you went back to the first reading.
Yeah, because I thought it was a prayer. It was a prayer of the prophet Isaiah. And what is there to say of the time in which we find ourselves? And by the way, interestingly, I read this morning an article which was pretty kind of fascinated me and challenged me. At the same time, it says we got to get over this, the war on Christmas, because it says we lost the war.
We did.
We've lost the war, so let's stop. Every year, it's No, forget it. And the article was saying, the point is we're in an apostolic age, and so we have to accept the fact that reality is reality, and that we're no longer in Christendom. And we speak, he says, you know, older people, so I consider myself in that category, and you're getting in that category as well, Tony, you know. So
oh, I feel
Christina,
that way.
You too, you know. Armand as well, you know. We're all in the, no, I'm just, but the point is that, you know, that we keep talking about a reality that the young people don't realize. Mm-hmm. They have mm-hmm. no idea because yeah. they haven't experienced Christendom, yeah. what yeah. we would call
sure.
basically a Judeo-Christian society, where, mm-hmm. as even in 1991, you know, people are going to midnight mass and, you know, people are celebrating Christmas and everybody says Merry Christmas and, you know, he says, we bemoan the fact that people don't say Merry Christmas. They just say, you know, Happy Holidays. But he says, at least Happy Holidays. But the point is, and Happy Holidays really is, you know, Happy Holy Days.
That's what I tell people. Happy yeah. Holy Days. And
happy
they look
Holy
at
Day
me.
To you, too.
So I heard, actually, this morning, it was funny because I had just read the article and I went into the office and Jasmine, who's working in the office, and Sylvia, and she was on the phone and she... And she was home. She said, "Happy holidays." I said, "Don't you say happy? You say Merry Christmas. You yeah, don't say Happy yeah. holidays." You know?
Especially if you're here in the church.
In the church.
Merry Christmas.
Stop it! You say this.
But the point is well made. He says, "You know, we keep talking about this war on Christmas." He said, "The war has been lost. We lost that war. We're in an apostolic age, and we have to, you know, the challenge is what? But to zero in." Focus on, nurture, and cultivate our lives in Christ and be that leaven, be the salt, be light in the darkness. So it was a very interesting article, and it challenged me because I thought, you know, how often I bemoan the fact as well. Oh, mm-hmm. remember what it was like, remember what yeah. was, and, you know, that we're in this radically secular, well, yeah, true, it's a radically secularized mm-hmm. society, and it is cause for concern. But the challenge for us is to be who we are and to know that we've got to be countercultural. We've got to be countercultural. We've got to really delve into the reason for the season. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a cliche, but... but anyway, what to say about the time in which we find ourselves? And my suggestion is to read, reflect, and meditate on the prayer from the prophet Isaiah, which really opened the season of Advent this year. And I'm going to read the prayer, and you know, you tell me what you think. Shout it out, those of you out in radio land, you know. But it's a prayer, and he says, "You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. You are named forever. So why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways, and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? So that we fear you not. Is there today the fear of God?" Return for the sake you, those were my words, right? I'm kind of interjecting here. Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you while you wrought awesome deeds we could not hope for, such as they had not heard of from of old. Because what Isaiah is doing, he's saying, you know, manifest yourself. Do something. Mm-hmm. Do something. Why do you let us wander? Why do you allow us to harden our hearts? Why do you allow us no longer to fear you? And so do something. And he kind of harkens back, remembering how God had manifested himself down through the ages. You know, we need, in other words, as he goes on to say, no ear has heard, no eye has ever seen any God but you doing such deeds for those who wait for him. Would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you in our ways. Behold, you are angry, and we are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All our good deeds are like polluted rags. We have all withered like leaves, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. There is none who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to cling to you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us up to our guilt. It's a powerful prayer, isn't
it? Powerful.
But yeah, very applicable to our day and time. But then he concludes with this. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. You are our Father. We are your clay, and you the potter. We are all the work of your hands. So basically, do something. Do something, you know. Again, the veracity of these words is applicable to the time in which we live. What's lacking today? Humility most characterizes the principal characters of Christmas, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, Anna, Simeon, the prophet and prophetess, Elizabeth and Zechariah. Those are the characters in the Christmas story. And what characterized their lives was humility. Now, humility is the antithesis of the word pride, which is a word so characteristic of the time in which we live. And I'm not just talking about the Pride Month. I'm just talking about, you know, that we've been breeding. And by the way, I'm hearing more and more people talk about this, the breeding of narcissism. Over the decades, we've been breeding narcissism. And, you know, I pray the Lord rid us of this self-preoccupation and bring us to gaze on the potter who wishes to mold the clay of our lives, not according to our will, but in conformity to his will, to God's will. As with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, Elizabeth, and Zechariah, we pray for the grace to die to ourselves, to die to our will, and to do his will. Because doing this would give witness to his reign and bring healing to a fractured, wounded, and hurting humanity. I was saying last week, it was just a couple of days ago, you know, that he's a potter, we're the clay. That image comes through a few times in Scripture. But that when God, and Isaiah is begging, you know, God, you know, manifest yourself, show yourself. We need you. Why let us continue down this path? I think many of us are asking the same thing.
I feel, and you think, Lord, why don't we need divine intervention?
We need divine intervention. But I had mentioned, you know, when, you know, God, if we would humbly acknowledge that we've come into something somewhere, we're someone from nothing, because God created us in his image and likeness, in beauty and goodness. He's the artist, we're the work of his hands. And so when he looks at us, that's always his focus. I use the example on Sunday of the Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel in Rome, right off the Vatican. But in that chapel, I was, you know, going back many several decades. I don't remember when the restoration was done, but it seems like it's been maybe 20 years ago, maybe less, maybe more. But I was there before and after. And before, you know, you could see the artwork, but there was just all this soot and grime and dirt. And so the beauty, the magnificence of the ceiling was clouded or shrouded or hidden, the magnificence, by this grime and this soot and this dirt. And then he did a restoration, and then all of a sudden the brilliance. But Michelangelo, if you know, before the restoration, if he were standing there in that chapel looking up to the ceiling, he would see what was beyond, what magnificence was hidden by the grit, the grime, the soot, and all the dirt and all that kind of stuff. And so certainly when God sees us, you know, he sees the dirt and the soot and the grime and basically the sin. Yes, the rough edges and the, you know, and this is where, you know, Advent is a penitential season. You know, we want to make make straight the way of the Lord. You know, let's be. Okay. So yes, truly, if we could be but humble, get over ourselves, free ourselves from this narcissism, and emulate the humility of the saints or of those principal characters in the Christmas story, then we would be giving witness to the reign of God, and this would bring healing to a fractured, a wounded, a hurting humanity. And so we, you know, we ask the Lord to effect in us healing and holiness, that we and others are awakened, ever watchful and alert to your kingdom, Lord, present in the midst of human misery, keeping us ever hopeful for the full realization of your kingdom at the end of all things. So that means for our part, never, we ask the God, we ask God never to let us defile and profane the holy covenant for which he chose to live and die, that we would have the means to come away from desolation, the means to come away from despair, and the means to come away from damnation. So during this Advent, it would be good for us to be very intentional, creating space for his coming. Because what is the will of God? The will of God is to abide within us as we make our way from here to the homeland. And because, again, we don't have to say much to establish the fact that each day we live is a day closer to our moving from here to somewhere, and we hope that somewhere is the homeland, is the full realization of God's kingdom, if we live and die in God's grace. But do we care? And by the way, I read this the other day, too, and I thought, this is so true. The word just went out of my mind. Ascetic. Is it ascetic? What's lacking today is asceticism, a detachment from good things in order to create the space for God. Ascetic. Is it, what's the word? It's indifference. It's a kind of indifference. Do you know what that word is? I read a whole article on it, and I thought that was so true. Look that up. It's A-C-E-D-I-T-Y. I've heard it, but I've never really thought much about it. But it's indifference. I don't care. I don't care about God or the things of God, or I don't care what you do or what I, you know. It's just living with no care, just doing my own thing. Ascetic. Define that. Do you see it?
A-C-E-D-I-T-Y,
I think.
Oh, okay. Because this was showing.
Ascetic. In any case, go ahead and see if you can find that. But we've got to create the space, and create space, meaning also a sensitivity to God and the things of God and the high standard that we're being called to live not duplicitous lives, but to really be disposed and receptive and docile to the inner working of God's Spirit, that God abide within us, because that's the will of God as we make our way from here to the homeland. And without prayer, this simply can't happen. We have to be a praying people. And so we want to, during this season of Advent, you know, be renewed in a prayerful disposition before God, and thereby become a leaven to those who he places on our path from one day to the next. Acidity. Maybe I'm not spelling it right.
Because it keeps taking me back to acidity, which is something else. It's the first time I hear that word, Father.
Well, you know what? We're going to take a break. Okay. And I lost my time over here, but yeah, let's take a break. I'm going to see if I can find that word. And I've heard it, you know, many times, but I never really put much attention to it. And I thought, wow, that really does describe the time in which we're living. We've got to create space for God. And without prayer, that's impossible. And knowing that the will of God is to abide within us. He's the potter, we're the clay, that he mold, that we be pliable in the hand of the potter so that we become truly the people he created us to be. And there's nothing more beautiful than that, really. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stan's Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Gosh, I'm embarrassed because I've heard that word, and I just read the article a few days ago, and I thought, boy, it just really makes sense. We can't find it. I gotta look it up. I'm embarrassed that I can't.
No, it's the first time I hear that word, Father.
Ascetic.
I know asceticism.
Anyway, what it means is it's an indifference. Mm-hmm. As I was reading the article, it's a kind of malaise, an indifference. In other words, there's nothing I can do about anything, and so I'm just going to do my thing, and you do your thing. And
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me whether. It's just kind of an attitude that, you know, I'm just kind of out there and doing.
Who cares? Whatever.
Who cares? Yeah. Just
whatever.
A no care attitude. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got to find that word.
You learn something new every day.
I've heard the word before, but I had never read, you know, this was a really interesting article defining the real crisis of the day in which we're living. You know, it's kind of like, it goes back to like Jesus saying, you know, hey, declare yourself, you know, are you hot? Are you cold? If you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. If you're just going through life with a no-care attitude, then, you know, it would be also like the salt. Mm-hmm. And when the salt goes flat, it's good for nothing but to be thrown and trampled underfoot, right? As Jesus said. And so the times in which we're living, we're not in Christendom, because of the radical secularization of society, which is something we have to accept, but because that's the reality, but then to be disposed for and to ask that God in that my life be infused with the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. that it become evident to others that I truly am living in God and God is living in me. And again, that's the whole theme of Advent, right? Be alert, stay awake, make way, make straight the path. You know, get rid of the clutter, get rid of the whatever serves as an impediment to God's inbreaking into history. So he needed, you know, God needed those who were disposed and receptive and humble in order to break into history.
We've talked about this before, Father. Who did the angel appear to the first, the people, to announce the birth of our Lord? Were the shepherds, and why? Because they were open to it. They had the space, the room.
They had the space, the room. They were they were in silence, so they were disposed to hear. This is really the crisis of our day, as well as that we're inundated with so much noise. We've got to come away from that cacophony, that rude noise of the world, in order to hear God speak in the silence of the hearts. And isn't that really the prayer, going back to the prayer of Isaiah? You know, it's almost like he's yelling out, you know, do something, you know, help. Manifest yourself, help. You know, why do you let us continue down this path? You know, you are God, we are your people. You are our Father. Wake us up. Why do you let us continue in our hard-heartedness?
Even like the other day, you said that when you went to go visit this person, to anoint this person, and there was so much traffic, and because people are out there shopping, getting ready for Christmas, so they're thinking of giving gifts. Oh, what am I going to get for Christmas? And we tell our family, especially the children, whose birthday are we celebrating? It's not your birthday, although there's some people that have a birthday. But who's the focus? What's the true meaning of Christmas? What are you going to give? What gift are you going to give baby Jesus? That's how we tell the children. What are you going to give him of yourself? Give him yourself, your being.
Yeah, when you taste and see the goodness of God, that brings up brings to my mind again this article. I've got this right here. The War on Christmas is Lost. Now it's time for Catholics to embrace the opportunities of the new apostolic age. You know, because people celebrate the season, but with no faith. With no faith. Not everybody, but I'm just saying that.
But most people.
And, you know, so it's I mean, the very word Christmas comes from the Mass of the Christ, right? Because in we have the, I forgot what saint spoke about the three comings of Christ, Saint Cyril of Jerusalem. Was it Saint Cyril of Jerusalem? I'm not sure, but the three comings of Christ, he came the first time, and so our Advent is a preparation for the celebration of the Christmas season, when God broke into history, when he took on our flesh, the incarnation, and that's the first coming, and there was this whole preparation for that. I mentioned, you know, I was talking to this on the plane. I was next to a Muslim man, and we had a wonderful conversation. The funny thing is, you know, on the way to Rochester, there were these two guys behind me, and they were talking the whole time, and so I couldn't help but hear the conversation. You know, I didn't want to eavesdrop, but I thought, boy, they're really in a talking mood, and thank God I'm not there, because I like to be silent,
quiet,
you know.
Yeah.
I like to maybe even doze off, you know, while I'm on the plane.
Yeah.
And what do you know, we get back on the, so on Friday when I was on the plane, I had the B seat, 6B, the aisle, and this guy said, oh, I'm 6A, and I said, oh, okay, you know, so he got out, and he says, oh, you were on the plane on Monday, weren't you? And I said, yeah. I said, yeah, and I said, and so were you, because I recognize the voice, you know.
Yeah, who could have?
So I thought, okay, this is going to be one of those flights where I'm not going to be able to rest,
right?
And I didn't. We talked the whole time, but it was a nice conversation. He's very talkative, but he's a Muslim, and a good guy. We had a wonderful conversation, and we both, you know, in the course of the conversation, it's kind of like as he said, he says, because he grapples with the concept of God and belief and all that. He says, but I choose to believe. It's better to believe than not to believe. And And then I was talking to him about the you know, the difference between Islam and Judeo-Christianity in a respectful way. I said, you know, in Islam, and I've mentioned it before on the radio, but in Islam, Allah speaks, Muhammad writes. There's no dialogue. There's no dialogue, none whatsoever. Muhammad simply dictates, writes what he perceives that Allah speaks to him. There's no dialogue, and there's no preparation for Islam. People would say, well, it goes back to Ishmael, you know, but there's no historical preparation for Islam, which comes 600 years after the incarnation and the Paschal mystery, the Messianic hour, which gives way to the Messianic age in which we're living. So I said, but I said, in Judeo-Christianity, we have this dialogue. God is walking with the people through thick and thin, through the happy and the sad, the good and the bad, through times of fidelity, infidelity, times of great sanctity, times of great scandal. And that's, again, going back to Isaiah, the prayer of Isaiah, who hearkens back through history and says, God, remember what you did, you know? And so we've got this whole historical preparation, thousands of years, written history, a preparation for the incarnation. Everything was prefigured. Everything was prepared for us. And Jesus speaks about that himself in the Gospels, especially on the day of the resurrection to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. But this guy, he was fascinated. He said, I never thought of that. He says, that never occurred to me, you know, this distinction between Islam and Judeo-Christianity. So, you know, not that I converted him, but we had a really, really wonderful conversation. Mm-hmm. And you know, the last thing he said, I'm glad you're a priest.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. That says a lot.
He said, I'm wearing what I was wearing now. He says, I thought you were a Muslim.
See, I was just, Father, I was just thinking that while I'm looking at you.
Yeah. He said, and I said, well, no, I said, this is a kefir. And it says, I know. I said, the monks wear this, we wear it too, you know. It's a similar, you don't see it much, but when you got a bald head, you know, when I shave, you want to keep your head warm.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, wow. But that was the last thing he says. Yeah, I'm glad you're a priest. And actually, to be honest, he's a convert. Mm-hmm. I say convert. He was a Catholic, became a Muslim. Mm. He's 40 years old. But he says his mother works. She has a high position in a diocese. Oh. But so you can see he's wrestling.
I could see why he'd be wrestling.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back. Eventually.
Eventually.
When God wants.
Yes.
So, Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs, no time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure? It does not take that long. Can you see?